Welcome to Guitar Serious Fun, a podcast dedicated to enhancing your guitar journey as you offer your gifts to the Lord. I'm David Harsh, and today we're going to talk about using our gifts. Now, we've talked about this before. I'm actually quite elated and delighted to bring back for the third time one Erin Pekinas. Erin is a good friend of our family. She teaches at our kids' school, and she and her husband and her five daughters attend our church as well. And if you've listened back to our previous two episodes, you know that we've talked about some really cool stuff. And you also know that I'm pretty linear, but Erin has this beautiful way of guiding me out of my linear, but still keeping it somehow on a trajectory that makes total sense and brings glory to God in the discussion. So I'm coming with a few points of discussion, but Erin comes from a podcast genre approach that's a little bit more, we kind of just roll with it. And there's actually a phrase that she uses to describe her podcast. So I want to welcome you, Erin. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Would you tell me the name of your podcast and how you roll?
It is called Hauling Off, and that is how I roll, generally speaking. And it's not because I don't like order or linear. I do really appreciate order and linear, but it seems like with all that's going on, you know, sometimes you just got to get into the work before you're actually super prepared to do it. So that, I feel like that's like a life model. Just go ahead and start it.
It kind of makes me think of like a good plan today is better than the perfect plan tomorrow.
For sure. That actually is very true. Yeah. And I mean, I was just talking to the fourth graders today, actually, about this. The idea that, you know, when there's a proverb that says man makes his plans and God directs his steps. So at the point where you are making your plans, you have to leave, you know, the room open to know that God's actually, he's clearly thinks that you should make plans because he says man makes his plans, and also he is going to direct your steps. So it's a good reminder just not to hold your plans too tightly and to kind of unroll your fingers from the plans so that you can let him be the boss of it. And even when you aren't that prepared, you know, I mean, God or man makes his plans, and sometimes he doesn't make them very well, and sometimes he hasn't thought them through, and God still directs the steps on the back end of that.
Wow.
So and that is good.
You're dispensing wisdom already. So you and Morgan Higgins have this mm-hmm. podcast.
Yep.
And the general focus of the podcast, how would you kind of summarize it if you could?
It was inspired by a desire to just keep the conversations going that we were having at Titus 2 and that we were having in and amongst our church body. So it really was primarily to further conversations that seemed to be applicable to our community. So we generally pull ideas from just what's going on in church or school or, you know, things that we're seeing around us and kick those around.
For the uninitiated, uh-huh. What is Titus 2?
Titus 2 is a book of the Bible and a chapter of the Bible that talks specifically about women's role and, you know, particular job. And I am a terrible memorizer and actually a pretty bad rephraser. So it says something about being about the work of your home, teaching younger women to love their husbands and their children and being busy at home. So it actually is a it's just an orientation. So usually or a lot of times groups of women at churches, I mean, I think there are other groups of women who call themselves Titus 2 groups or whatever. It's just, you know, ladies gathering together to promote God's work within the woman lives amongst.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So Titus 2 is the descriptive name for the women's group at our church that meets every month?
Yep, once a month.
Okay, excellent. So just by way of bringing this to a new level, I'm a little spontaneous today. Maybe it's your fault, Erin, because
probably.
I'm usually not as
spontaneous. I bring
spontaneous.
That out in people.
Whitney is here with us doing her knitting, which she was last time. Say hello, Whitney.
Hi.
But we have a cameo. We are in the presence of greatness. We are just by way of context, we are in the parking lot at the school where our kids are swimming right now. And one of the coaches of the Marlins is actually now in the car. But more importantly, you're going to know her as the co-host of Hauling Off. I literally just flagged her down and just brought her over to the car and just said, hey, could you just hang out with us for a second? So please say hello, Mo Higgins. Please say hello.
Hello. It's so good to be on this podcast.
It's so awesome. So right? I haven't even announced the topic yet, but back in episode 79, we talked about when your gifts aren't needed. And that was in a season where I was kind of healing and just coming to church. And there was great freedom in knowing that I wasn't just going to be, wrangled into serving in that moment where I just needed to be ministered to, right? So by now, we've now experienced, this is our third podcast between me and Aaron, and I wanted to do a sequel to that podcast. Can you do a sequel to a podcast?
Yeah.
So we're going to call today's episode, right, When Your Gifts Are Needed. Now, Mo, were you there when I led worship most recently with the band?
I was, which was awesome. It was super freaky to have Jonathan, his voice coming from behind us. Like, a couple times I actually turned around because I was like, what?
Why are you singing back there?
He's not standing up in the front.
So for our listeners, Jonathan is the director of worship who is very much a fixture on the platform leading the singing. Now, some churches have, rotating teams and that sort of thing. Jonathan is typically up there just about every Sunday. Sometimes he will have Max sub in. But what did Jonathan get to do? I'll ask Mo. Let her do the little mic drop. What did Jonathan get to do that Sunday that he typically does not ever get to do?
Yes, this was actually quite good because I had not even realized that until Sean was saying it. He got to help serve communion, which I was like,
for the first time ever.
I know, because I was like, oh yeah, he has never done it. It was awesome to have him do it.
It was.
And the serving of communion is a pretty sweet thing because you get to engage with congregation as they come right up to the table. It's not at all perfunctory or transactional. It's very much, hey, here you go. And I couldn't quite see his face, partially because I was singing and leading the singing, but I'm betting that he was smiling pretty broadly with joy and gratitude as he got to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'll just ask the rhetorical question. Could he have served communion while still leading the music? Probably not efficiently. So all that to say, that was a perfect paradigm, which actually inspired this follow-up conversation that, hey, my gifts were needed so that his gifts could be offered in a different way. And I would say, as I think about my style and my approach, it was in line with the culture of the church. I didn't do anything that would be, strange or odd or, confusing. It was very much in line with the worship culture, but I brought a different approach of leading, a different sound, a different way of playing the guitar, still hopefully pointing to the Lord. But I believe the congregation was uplifted and God was glorified. Would the two of you feel like that happened?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, that would be a really rough podcast if we were like, actually, no.
I imagine that awkward moment.
I could totally edit that out.
Yeah, actually, I was like, oh man, this is terrible. No, I know, because it's funny because we don't have that very often. Because Max, is it like once every...
I mean, it's like when Jonathan's gone. Yeah. So it's only when he's gone, as far as I remember.
Yep.
Yeah, there's never a time that somebody else has led worship with Jonathan in the congregation.
No, totally. And our kids had to tell, because apparently it's such a fixture, I don't even look up there, I guess. So they were like, look, it's Mr. Harsh. And I was like, what? And then I was like, oh, right, it is.
There you go.
Yeah, no, but it was great. And it's, I do like what you're talking about, the having it be the same principles that are driving it, but different people, because that's also, I love when the different elders teach also, because each one has a different, because everybody's a different person. Yep. So you're serving God, even if you're following all the same ideas, it's a different taste always, which is great.
I think it's also the beauty of the variety of the body of Christ and people's different temperaments and personalities and their inflections and the way they handle the word, always wanting to handle it in a godly fashion. But I just think of, Dave and his approach versus Ryan. I'm not saying anything better or worse. I'm just saying if it's the same person, speaking every time, the Lord still totally moves. If the same person leads the music every time, the Lord still totally moves. I have no concerns about that, but I do love the idea of someone stepping in, feeling prompted. But the beauty of it was the timing of it was the Lord's, and I responded, and it turned out to be a real blessing to Jonathan, but also to the congregation. And also, Mo's husband is Sean Higgins, who is the primary teaching elder at the church.
Yeah, he is.
Yes.
You would really be helpful on hauling off because you, somehow you're remembering what people know or don't know. This is the thing that Aaron and I are not very good at. We're later I'll be like, did we talk about, I don't even know if anybody knows who that is. Uh-huh. But yeah.
Well, hey, let me just drop a little right? plug here. But if you've spent a little time on my podcast, I would be more than willing to be a special guest on your podcast on the topic of your choosing.
Let's do that. We also should have you come on too. We need to have a Whitney podcast too.
Okay. That would be epic.
Our biggest problem is.
How do we...
Yeah, like scheduling.
We're that is our problem. That's why we never have guests on our podcast, because we can't pull ourselves together. Now?
Hey, the only reason you two are here is because our kids are swimming right now.
Totally.
So there we go.
This is very handy.
But with that, I'd just like to wrap up this little segment where we have Mo Higgins with us. Thank you, Mo, for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me. This was a very fun little blip in my day. I liked it.
Right?
Well, that was a special unexpected treat.
That was fun.
And again, I feel like your spontaneity kind of is influencing me in that direction. And there you go. Now we have had both of the main hostesses of Hauling Off on my podcast. What a blessing.
I think that's great.
So in talking about stepping forward with our gifts, I kind of have to ask the question, when is it time? When is someone ready? And that's a delicate question to ask, because sometimes we're never ready. Even as we were kind of getting started with this, just talking about it's the Lord's timing, we have our plans, we might not be ready, but he can still use us. Mm-hmm. As I've been a director of worship on a couple of different church staffs, I've kind of guarded the standard because I want it to be good. I don't want to just have people just show up and just play and phone it in.
Right.
But on the other hand, I want to temper it with realism, because there are people who can play four chords really well. And in this day and age, a lot of the worship, not all of it, but a lot of it can be accomplished with four chords and a capo. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say you've got a paradigm where, and I've seen this twice, you've got a pastor who preaches, but he also leads worship. So, like, he literally leads the opening singing, puts down his guitar, and then steps up and preaches the message, which, in my humble opinion, is he's carrying too many responsibilities on a Sunday morning. And that's a situation where, no matter how simple, it would be appropriate for someone from within the congregation who is a faithful, you know, part of the church to step forward and say, hey, listen, I'm not like the most amazing musician, but I think I could probably carry some of these responsibilities. Maybe my gifts are needed in this situation. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things going on when you're trying to, when especially at a church where the goal is actually to grow people. Like, you're trying to disciple and grow people into the work that God has for them, right? Like, if God prepared good works for you before the beginning of time, like, he has a lot of stuff for us to do. And I think you need to hold both ends pretty, I guess, in good tension, maybe, because on one hand, you do want a high standard. You don't want to say, oh, good, you're breathing. We need you up here, you know, because you'll get that sometimes in kids ministry at churches. That tends to be the, like, we don't care. We just need a warm body to babysit the children, you know, which is a pretty low view of what you're doing with kids in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty low view if all you need to be doing is having your heartbeat to function. You know, I mean, like, you're not looking for that, while also recognizing that people come with different gifts and different capacities, right? So, like, if a glad and faithful believer is being raised up to help, you don't want to be like, no, sorry, you can't, you know, because you're not good enough, or because you're not, you know, like, we don't want your help. That's not really great in terms of growth, while also not wanting to be, you know, I mean, recognizing that what we're doing actually does require a skill set. You know, I mean, like, you would not let a 5-year-old jump up and be banging on the drums during worship, I'm guessing. I don't know.
No, you're correct.
Because you're like, this is distracting from, like, at that point, they would be too central to the project. Like, actually, what you're doing is you're trying to honor the Lord through the song of the body. It's not, you're trying not to make people stick out. So I think, even on principle, I would say that is kind of the principal aim at our church. It doesn't seem like those who are leading worship are leading in, what would you say? Like, they're not leading in terms of, like, look at me go, look at me, I'm singing, I'm going to talk a lot. The structure of the worship is such that the music is congregational, and there's really, other than the next song we're going to sing is this on page, you know, such and so. There's not a lot of talking by those who are bringing the music. They're leading the congregation in song.
And the congregation is responding and just singing, and right. we're getting down to business.
Right.
I feel like sometimes worship leaders don't know what to say, so they talk more.
Yes.
One very gifted worship leader, Bob Coughlin, said it really well. He said, God's word is going to outlive any of our words. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to speak, it would be appropriate mostly to pray scripture or recite scripture to lead into or respond to a song. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, it's not great to just talk a lot about the song, but rather get the people singing the song.
Yep.
And one of the things I did do on this recent Sunday was to teach them mm-hmm. very deliberately the verse and the chorus of a song that I knew was new to them. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you, I was so blown away because they responded like they already knew the song.
Right.
But I didn't think they did because it was new enough and had never been sung at our church. Part of it, I think, was because I was very deliberate in how I led the teaching portion of it. But also part of it was just the congregation just wanted to sing.
Right.
And they sang so robustly. And it was such a rare jewel to hear them sing with such conviction and joy.
And I've also heard somebody talk about, you know, when you raise the level of musical competence of a group. I mean, so, you know, a good portion of our kids actually are learning music because they have choir every single day of their school days. And, you know, we do choir practice as a church body 4 times a year. So, you know, we are shooting for growth in musical skill that actually makes you receptive to new things because
Absolutely.
You're just ready for that because you're getting a lot of new music on the regular. So it makes you fit for a new thing.
The collective mindset mm-hmm. is already primed
yep.
for musical development.
Right.
And also in our morning matins, our first part of the day at school, mm-hmm. they break out the cantus hymnals and they have a hymn that they've allocated for the week that is sung every day. And often Jonathan, who's also our headmaster, will say, okay, we've got one sharp. What key might we
right.
be in? And people say, oh, G major. Oh, actually, it's E minor. Or they become theoretically aware of music
sure.
theory. So it's just kind of embedded in the culture, which I think is really great. So that when a new song comes across, they're ready to grab on with both hands and
yep.
take it forward.
Jump in.
I love that. Now,
yeah.
speaking of musical standard, I'm just curious, what would you say to someone who feels self-conscious about, mm-hmm. say, their guitar playing?
Mm-hmm.
They've been playing for a bit. They have some competence on the instrument, but they say to themselves, well, I can't play this perfectly, so I'm not going to step forward and serve with my gifts yet.
Mm.
What would you say to
Man,
them?
Man, I would say that, you know, I mean, you serve for... Like, you're serving in obedience to the Lord. You're not serving for the, you know, recognition of man. And that really is a great place for, and, you know, I mean, I guess, could you be proud and, you know, punching your way through, you know, badly? Sure. But to hold back because you're not up to the level that you would like to be is oftentimes just pride, you know, raising its ugly head and not allowing you to move forward because somebody is going to think you're, you know, a dork. Somebody's going to think you are not as amazing as you would like them to think you are. And I do think that for the most part, like in terms of growth of a body, I think of this at home on the regular. And actually, I can't remember if we talked about this last time, but just the idea of welcoming your kids into the kitchen. So I have a 20-year-old who currently is making rad food and kids growing up into being great cooks who we let make a lot of bad food for a while. So like if your leaders, if you're the people who are in charge of the group recognize that, hey, we want to invite the 8-year-old into the kitchen because we're hoping that the 8-year-old's going to gain skills to keep going. Like we're actually encouraging young attempts, and whether that's young because they're actually young in age or young because you're just starting a guitar, you know, it's okay to be young at something, and that's a good place for people to jump out and just keep going.
Okay, I've got a trifecta of quotes for you.
Okay.
You're going to love this. There is the late K. Anders Ericsson, who was a scientist and a scholar of human behavior and psychology. He created an entire philosophy and book, and I read an article about him from The Bottom Line called The Upside of Failure. And his basic mm-hmm. mindset is when we fail, that's actually even more constructive to our learning process. It's actually harder to learn from success because it worked. But if something didn't work, then it can be slightly adjusted to, or maybe majorly adjusted to, be better. Maxwell Maltz was also a great author and understood the mind beautifully. He had a book called Psycho-Cybernetics, and he said that the trajectory of a torpedo is such that the torpedo literally makes a series of mistakes and constantly corrects its course until it hits the target. Mm. And then the other one I have is from the late Helen Hayes, who was a great actress. I saw her years ago in Disney movies. But she said, the expert at anything was once a beginner. Mm. So how do we become an expert? We have to start as a beginner.
A beginner.
Right? So we make these mistakes. In a recent Zoom call with our Guitar Success for You membership, I mentioned that practice, the practice room, is where we build our skills. It's where the battle is typically won. But the platform or the stage or wherever we are sharing our music publicly is the crucible. It would almost be like pottery. Like you're making something out of pottery as you shape it in the practice space, and then it gets fired in the kiln of being out in front of people. Mm-hmm. And that's where you experience a level of pressure, like, oh, people are listening.
Yep.
But that's also where we may make some of our mistakes.
Yep.
But it's also where we can learn from our mistakes.
Right.
Our music teacher at the school, Mrs. Sarr, who's actually the wife of the headmaster of the school, who is also the worship director, she says to the choir on more than one occasion, make loud mistakes, mm-hmm. because she wants to know what those mistakes are so she can guide us back to singing well. Which leads me to another just quick little corollary on this. I actually serve every Tuesday and support the choirs by teaching the kids their notes and helping mm-hmm. them with their vocal techniques, because my background is primarily in voice mm-hmm. As well as guitar. So that's another instance where my gifts are needed, because mm-hmm. she literally cannot multiply herself to be able to be effective with the repertoire. Mm-hmm. So anyway, thoughts on the trifecta of making mistakes and going through those? And
well, it made me think of the recent SpaceX attempt to launch a rocket somewhere amazing, and it just blew up in a hot second. And Elon Musk is like, great, now we know more stuff than we did. You know, I mean, like, and that is the kind of response that is humble enough to recognize that, well, we need to know more things. Like, we didn't know enough. That's great. Now we know a lot more about what to do next time. And not so proud that, you know, he's going to go cry in a hole and be like, well, it didn't work. We're probably never going to get there. You're like, actually, people who do stuff are usually humble enough to do stuff loud and big and fail and keep going. And that is a lot of times, you know, the people who are really getting a lot of stuff done are the people who are not taking themselves very seriously. And that's, I think that actually is the thing that gets in the way a good portion of the time when we try new things, is, you know, us taking ourselves too seriously and making ourselves too big of a thing. Because at that point, you're tripping all over yourself when you could just be doing the work and, you know, and kind of sorting, like the missile, sorting it out along the way. Oh, nope, that didn't work. Oh, nope, that didn't work. And, you know, hitting the target, which is down the road.
But we can't grow and adjust our trajectory and learn from mistakes unless we step forward and make our gifts available and realize that our gifts are needed in some capacity. Mm-hmm. And there's various venues in which we can serve. Someone may not be called to being on the main platform. They may be called to mm-hmm. leading a few songs at their life-to-life group Bible study situation, or leading young people in children's ministry, or doing some avenue of it. But I feel like the Lord's going to trust us with opportunities based on His calling for our lives. We might be a two-talent servant or a five-talent servant. We just don't want to be that one-talent servant. So your exhortation to someone who is kind of holding on to wanting to play perfectly is release your grip on the perfectionism a bit and step forward, because you just might be needed right
mm-hmm.
about now.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That's good. Sometimes we're invited to do something musically. And we're like, okay, wait, what? And I remember inviting you during my Christmas program for the students to play something very simple. Christmas carols are not typically simple, but we found a way to arrange the first Noel with two chords, E and A.
Correct.
And you worked those chords and you had them absolutely solid because I had you play that on the guitar as I played on the canjo. And the canjo was made by your husband, Dean, who is also a member of Guitar Success for You. This couple, they're both members of Guitar Success for You. And for the uninitiated, the canjo is a one-stringed instrument with a fretboard that ends in a can.
Like 28-ounce tomato can.
Tomato can. Yeah, like, and he had like painted it and stuck a Guitar Success for You sticker on it. And he had actually like emblazoned the Guitar Success for You name on the side with like wood burning or something. He made it a really classy instrument.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, where could I play? I know where I could play this. Who could I jam with? I know who I could jam with. You know, what did you think when I said, hey, I want you to play up in front of the whole school with me as I play the canjo. I want you to play guitar. What did you think when I said that?
Well, I thought, sure, I could do that. And I knew I would do it badly. And it was a funny thing because it's just like you explained, you know, you practice, but when you're practicing at home on your bed, it's like nobody's watching, nobody, like, it's fine. I got A and E all over the place. Like, I have got these things nailed. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're up in front of everybody and like, well, they're not as nailed as they were last night by myself. But it is such a good reminder that the fun of doing that. I mean, you know, so for us, I work at the school, and one of the things that I am doing is hoping to like figure out how to teach a whole group of K to 12 kids to jump out and try stuff. Like, don't trip over yourself. Don't wait till you're perfect. Go get after trying something. And, you know, at some point you're like, well, I guess I better lead the way.
Lead by example.
Right. Let's go ahead and try something I'm not very good at.
Lead the charge. Just lead them forward. That's so great.
Yeah.
I'm so encouraged by that. And as we're kind of winding down, I hope that you, as our listener, are encouraged too by just Erin's willingness to just step out and be available. She's using her gifts. I'm using my gifts. Are we perfect in our offerings? No, not at all. But we're available. And I feel like there's a lot of different situations in Scripture where God called the available. He was more concerned with their availability than their ability.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain people who had very specific skills that he needed them to use. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in a very real instance, I remember Moses actually defied God and said, no, I'm not going to speak to your people when God called him. And then God said, well, who made your mouth? I'm going to make it possible for you. I'm going to go with you. And he still said, Lord, please send someone else. And then the Bible says the Lord's anger burned against him. And then he said, fine, I'll use your brother Aaron because you're not going to be available. And that, I think, is a cautionary tale because it's like, well, if I don't step forward, then who will he use? And will he use someone else? He probably will find someone else.
Right, because shockingly, he's God, and he can actually make anybody, you know, he can make the stones cry out and get his job done. But
I love that. Shockingly,
nice?
He's
right.
God. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if we obeyed?
Hey, join the party. Like, he actually has a lot of work to do, and to be available and say, yes, Lord, sure, I'll do what you want me to do, even if I'm not super fit for it, or I'm not, you know, it doesn't feel super comfortable. Obviously, you know, you trust the God that made your mouth, or your fingers, or your, you know, legs, whatever he's using, he's going to use it, even if it's not perfect.
And you just alluded to another callback to our very first podcast episode where I had you on, where we talked about embracing good difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he calls us to be comfortable.
Nope.
I really don't. I was even having a conversation with your dad, who was asking about our discussion today, what we were going to talk about. And I alluded to that first episode, and the mic drop moment was when you talked about doing your Trans-Washington bike voyage, where you basically said, God gives us the gift of the downhill, but he builds us and shapes us in the uphill, which I would venture to say that when we're working on our music and we're shaping it, or we're in front of people and we're failing gloriously, he's going to shape us with that. He's going to build us through that. And I am the musician I am today because of the mistakes I've made.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not advocating making lots of mistakes, but they're going to come, and how we respond to them and how we learn is going to make a huge difference. But it all depends on our responsiveness to the Holy Spirit and to the people who calls us forward to use our gifts, because in a very real sense, in a lot of different instances, our gifts are needed, and they might be needed when it's not necessarily as convenient for us.
Yes. Because again, going back to, God doesn't seem to be super concerned about my comfort, which is great because that actually, it's a good reminder not to use that as a primary filter. And I think even going back to, do you feel prepared enough? No, that's fine. God can use that. You know, do you feel competent enough? Nope, not really. That's great. Go ahead and do it anyway. You know, God builds you in the time where you say, yes, I'll do it. Opposed to, well, wait, I'm not good enough yet. I'm not quite there yet. I'll do it, but I'll do it later.
It's a dangerous line of thinking because later could become never.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to be that person who's like, well, one day I'll have this figured out. And then I blink and 10 years have gone by and I've missed the opportunity where I could have been used of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, any closing thoughts for us today, Aaron?
No, just the older you get, the more you realize that all the big ideas that you had for the things you were going to do went, you know, I mean, you're like, well, 10 years ago, what did I think I was going to do that I haven't done a lot of things, you know, and that time moves fast. So, yeah, picking the thing up that you want to do now and fighting to do it is worthwhile.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah. Have you had a good time?
Yeah, as usual.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, my exhortation to you, our amazing listener, is twofold. First, be available and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading to call you forward to offer your gifts, because your gifts very much are needed. And you may have a venue just waiting for you to use your gifts, whether it's on the worship platform or ministering to young people or writing songs and sharing them with the waiting world. The second exhortation, if you don't already have a community of like-minded followers of Christ who is learning the guitar alongside you, I encourage you to check out Guitar Success for You. We've got a pretty sweet thing going on, and we would love to welcome you into our tribe. The website for Guitar Success for You is www.guitarsuccessforyou.com. That's Guitar Success, the number 4, and the letter U.com. So just by way of recap, we've been talking about being available when our gifts are needed. We had Aaron Pekinas here with us today with Hauling Off, and a special cameo appearance of her co-collaborator and co-hostess, Mo Higgins, also of Hauling Off. This has been a really rich episode. I hope you have enjoyed it. Please leave us a comment, and do check out Guitar Success for You. We'd love to have you. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.